praise the Lord this morning. I will get my tough coat off. Not because I'm overheating, but it wouldn't look right, would it? Trust we'll get warmed up. Praise the Lord. I want to take a reading this morning. I have several readings. I want to take a reading from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 15. Just when we find it, we'll maybe stand, if you stand up for a moment, just and it might help us also change our position for a moment. And few verses here from Romans chapter 15. We'll begin the reading at verse 15. Praise the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is addressing the Roman church, and in verse 15 he says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written unto you more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning to us. Praise his holy name. Our Father, again this morning, we thank you, we praise you. And Lord, we gather around your word and we ask that the Holy Ghost will take your word this morning and confirm it to us, Lord, with signs and wonders. We ask you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit upon us, and we thank you for already a sense of your presence in this room. We pray, Lord, you'll close us in with thyself, and we pray, Lord, you'll speak the things to us that you want us to hear in Jesus' name, and you'll bless your people this morning and give them your grace and your peace. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats this morning. And I've got down a lot of scriptures written down here this morning, and I don't know if we'll go to them all or not, but we'll do what we can. We'll try till get across quite a few of them. You know, my title this morning is maybe it's not so much a strange title, but maybe it's a bold one. My title this morning is Room to Talk. Room to Talk. I believe the Apostle Paul was a man that had room to talk. And he talked about his talk representing glory. And he does that in the verse 17 that we have read. He says, "I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." Now, the Apostle Paul was a man who could boast, and he wasn't a boastful man. I don't mean that the wrong way, but he had room to talk. And I want this morning to ask you, and I want to ask myself, have we got room to talk. Now, as regarding having a church building, we appreciate this building here now, and this is not where I've come, but as regarding to being comfortable in the church, in the meeting, if I said to you this morning, are you sitting comfortably, you would have to tell me a lie if you told me you were warm. Now you might be dry, but you don't have any room to talk this morning about the heating, because we haven't got any heating. Now that's a natural thing. Well, what about the spiritual thing?
Amen.
God wants his people to have room to talk.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul was a man who had room to talk. And he was a man who, when he did talk, his conversation was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah. His conversation was the resurrection from the dead. His conversation was the things that pertain to God. His conversation was the Holy Ghost. His conversation was the gifts of the Spirit of the living God. His conversation was the anointing that destroys the yokes of bondage. His conversation was, let me say it this morning, was the power of God. He had room to talk. In 2017. We need to have room to talk.
Amen.
In 2017. We need to have room for God. We need to have room for Christ.
Amen.
And I believe if we make ourselves available, we will have room to talk.
Amen.
And we'll have room for God. We'll have room for Christ. We'll have room for the things of God in church and in our lives. Praise his holy name. Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul was a man sent from God. And we all know that he was a messenger to the first church age. And in verse 16, I am a terrible man sometimes for preaching back to front, or preaching from a verse and then going back to something. But in verse 16 he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Everything that Paul done was Holy Ghost orchestrated. Is that the right way to say that? That's not, maybe not saying it right. He didn't do anything that wasn't anointed when it come to the things of God. When Paul stood up to preach, he was anointed. He wasn't working on his own ability. He was working with the anointing. He was working with the power of God. And he said that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. And he was the minister. He claimed the ministry to the Gentiles. He claimed to be God's mouthpiece to the Gentiles.
Amen.
What are we able to claim this morning? Are we able to claim that we're the mouthpiece of God? Well, if we're not the mouthpiece of God, we ought to keep quiet. We have nothing to say. But if we have something from God, we have everything to say. Now, there's a relation between what you want to say and what God wants you to say. And what God wants us to say will bring glory to God.
Amen.
And it'll bring, not only bring glory to God, but I believe it'll bring glory on the church. Right. We used to sing a wee chorus, "Unto him be glory in the church, both now and evermore. Unto him be glory in the church, both now and evermore." But Paul recognizes the work of the Holy Ghost in verse 16. He recognizes the gospel to the Gentiles. He recognizes the ministry of Jesus Christ through the gospel, and the ministry of God through the gospel, And he recognizes that there's going to be a day whenever the Gentiles is going to be offered up, and that they'll be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He says, I have therefore whereof. Because he had already, something had happened.
Yes.
Something had already happened in the life of Paul.
Amen.
He had met with Christ. And we know the story when he met with Christ on the road to Damascus, that he went to the place called Straight. And when he went to the place called Straight, God spoke to the man and told him about Saul of Tarsus was in a place called Straight. And the man said back to the Lord, it was Ananias, said back to the Lord, I have heard of this man, how he persecutes the church. But God said, go and pray for him, for he's a chosen vessel unto me.
Amen.
And whenever Ananias comes in to pray for Paul, he says, the Lord has sent me to pray for you, that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, right away there, Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, Paul could say, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertains to God. But then in verse 18 he goes on to say something else. He says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about I learn to come, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I want you to notice something here, and it's not really what I wanted to bring out of it, but listen, I want you to notice something here. No Christ, no gospel.
Amen.
No gospel, no Christ. You cannot separate Christ from the gospel.
Amen.
Right.
If you haven't got Christ, you haven't got the gospel.
Right.
If you don't present Christ, you're not presenting the gospel.
Amen.
Call it whatever you want to call it. There's one man who died for the word.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ want to work by you today?
Amen.
It's the things that Paul said Christ wrought by me. He was identified with the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was identified with the power of God. He was identified with the Holy Spirit coming into a meeting or coming over someone and God working.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to start to relate to you this morning some of the things that the Lord has done. But I have been in sometimes in the position where Christ was working, where the Holy Ghost was working, and people got deliverance, people got set free.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's the kind of meetings we ought to be in.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. You know, I remember being in a church service where people come out for prayer. And there was a man at this side of the church who didn't seem to be able to be delivered. And I sent two brothers to pray for him and they couldn't go near him. He was demon possessed. They couldn't go near him. But I didn't realise he was maybe demon possessed. God was going to set him free.
Amen.
That's what makes the difference. And Tommy was speaking along these lines the other night when he said people would say something and it would bring the blessing.
Amen.
And really and truly he was talking about the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
The spirit of prophecy will bring deliverance in the meeting.
Amen.
The spirit of prophecy. But anyhow, I don't want to dwell too long on this, but when I remember going to the man, and the man was sitting in the chair, and he was sitting with his head down, and I was told after that he was at the back of the meeting, and the evil spirits was crying out of him, and the people was frightened. I know when you hear a demon crying out, it would frighten you, but when he's crying out, you know he's half bit. He's ready to leave. Because he's disturbed.
Yes.
And there's a presence of God that the devil can't go into.
Right.
Not from the crucified Christ went to the cross.
Yeah.
Not from Jesus went to the cross. Because before he went to the cross, he said, now is the prince of this world judged. And now is he cast out.
Yeah.
And Satan lost the keys of the kingdom. He lost the keys of hell and of death. Right. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, hallelujah, when Jesus Christ went into the lower parts of the earth, he took the keys of Satan, he took the keys of hell, and he took the keys of death, and the Bible tells me that wasn't all he done. He led captivity captives, he loosed them that were under Abraham's bosom, and he gave gifts unto men. Holy Ghost. But I remember coming to this dear man. I was thinking about him the other day. I wonder how he's doing. I never saw him before, but I saw him in a dream. And when I came down, the Holy Ghost said to him, through the spirit of prophecy, Christ said to him, Christ wrought by me and made me speak to him and said, stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ makes you well.
Amen.
I never prayed for him. No praying. Stand up on your feet. Jesus Christ makes you well. He stood up on his feet. He threw his arms round me. And I threw my arms round him. And then I saw him that he was the man that was in the dream. Jesus Christ makes you well. The power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Listen what verse 19 tells you. It tells you that Christ, now don't forget the fact in verse 18 that Christ was working. He said, wrought by me. Wrought. That's something that God done. Wrought. The greatest worker for God on earth was Jesus Christ. Because he's still working.
Amen.
This is him that was and is.
Amen.
And is to come. He's still working in 2017. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is still working.
Amen.
Some people tells me that he went into retirement. Some people tells me he's on the pension. Some people tells me he no longer pours out his Holy Spirit. Some people tells me that mercy's over. But I don't believe that for one minute. He's alive in 2017.
Amen.
And he's still working.
Right.
He's still the same Jesus.
Amen.
Paul said he wrought by me.
Amen.
Oh, I would to God he would wrought by me again. I would to God he wrought by this church again. I'm not saying he stopped, but do it again, Lord.
Amen.
Do it again. Verse 19 says, through mighty signs and wonders. Mighty signs and wonders. Not something that might be. Not something that was almost. But mighty signs and wonders. Through mighty signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God. By the power of the Spirit of God. By the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Paul said, I think it was to the Thessalonians, that he preached the gospel unto them with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It's God that's working. Praise his holy name. Never forget that. Praise the Lord. You know, whenever the pastor preaches to us, if anyone preaches to us and anything happens, remember, it's God that's working. It's God that's working. The Holy Ghost that's working. Praise his holy name. And he goes on to say, in verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So there's a man, Paul, who's striving to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He's striving. You know, if you're striving to do something, you haven't sat down. You're not relaxing. You can't be relaxing and striving. But if you're striving, you're on the move.
Amen.
You're on the move. And there's no let up. There's no let up. You know, the devil wants you to let up. He wants you to relax. As concerning the things of God. He wants you to say, oh, take a break. The devil never takes a break. He'll not take a break. He's very bold, isn't he? And sin's bold.
Right.
Sin and unbelief. Unbelief never takes a break. Unbelief will always speak its mind. We ought to counteract unbelief every time we're here.
Amen.
We ought to say, no, that's not what the word says.
Amen.
I'll take what the Lord says. You can keep your unbelief. I'll take what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'll take God at his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, whenever we take him at his word, the prophet of God said then his word will come to pass in our lives.
Right.
I believe that this morning. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said he wouldn't dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. You know, it's easy to get. Sometimes we mix our words up, or we don't say what we intend to say. But Paul, I believe when he preached, he was careful to say only the things that God wanted him to say.
Amen.
And he said he wouldn't dare to speak of anything else. He wouldn't dare. Verse 18 says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed.
Amen.
To make the Gentiles obedient to what? This gospel.
Amen.
The gospel. It was the gospel. Praise his holy name. Now, I'm trying this morning to talk about having room to talk. You know, I said it earlier that there's a link between what you say and God's glory. There's a link between it, and the Bible tells us that. Now I want you to turn with me to the psalmist David in Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16, I thought I had a... Yes, I have a marker in it. I was going to say I thought I had a marker in it. I do have a marker in it. In the book of Psalms in chapter 16, this is David, I believe. And we know that the Psalms was written, the Bible says, the prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here again, it's not so much David, but it's something that God done by him. This is something that God done by the mouth of the prophet David, and I'm calling him the prophet David, because when the Spirit of the Lord came on him, he would prophesy, I believe that. And even King Saul, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he prophesied. It's not right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this, all the Psalms are wonderful. They're wonderful for comfort. They're wonderful for consolation. They're wonderful just to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But listen here to something. There's lots of things that we could bring out of this morning, maybe. But in Psalm 16, I want to draw your attention to... That's verse 9 in particular. But I'm going to read perhaps from verse 5. You know, just to say, I should read the whole psalm, but I'm not going to do it just to save time. But we'll read here down from verse 5, and it says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." My God was maintaining the psalmist David. He said, "Thou maintainest my lot," and he said, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup." The Lord is. Right away, there's God get the glory. Yes. The Lord is. He said, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." That's the best inheritance anyone could ever get.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the inheritance that the Lord wants to give to the church. It's the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to say, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Now the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. You know, I believe when I read about this, you know what I think about? I think about the electric fencer with the cattle. You might say, "John, you're a farmer. You're an old farmer." I'm an old farmer. But I know when the electric fencer's up, if anything goes near it, they're going to get a kick. You know, God puts the fencer in you.
Yeah.
And the psalmist, I believe, this is what he said here. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." Now, in other words, you cross the line, you're moving out of the pleasant place. God's away for you, and it's a good place. It's a good place. Stay within where God wants you to be.
Amen.
Don't be moving outside of Him. Move outside of Him, you're moving by yourself. Move in Him, He's moving through you.
Amen.
That's the difference now. Don't move outside of the Holy Ghost. And then He says, "I have a goodly heritage." And verse 7 says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." The Lord has given me counsel. The Lord's not going to leave you and not say what He wants you to do. He says He has given me counsel. He says, "Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." I believe the reins is the things that's in your heart that God has put there. The things that's in your heart that God has put there. Not you, not anybody else, God. And he says they have struck them in the ninth season. He says in verse 8, now he's prophesying here. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now that's Christ.
Amen.
And God, his heavenly Father. That's the
Amen.
God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, his
Amen.
Son. He said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, the psalmist David here is prophesying of the resurrection. He's prophesying of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's prophesying of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, I want you to notice what the psalmist said here. He said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, he's talking about the Lord here. But the psalmist David said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. I want to ask you this morning, how does your glory rejoice?
Amen.
But you know, I'm going to tell you how it rejoices. Through your tongue.
Amen.
Through your tongue. That's how your glory rejoices. Did you know that? Now, that's one of the ways. What makes me say that? I'll tell you what makes me say that. If you turn to the book of Acts in chapter 2 with me, and in verse 26, now we're doing a lot of moving this morning and a lot of turning here. The book of Acts in chapter 2, and it's verse 26. Now, I'm not only going to read you the verse 26, I'm going to read from verse 23 through to verse 27. Now, this is Peter standing up here, and the Bible says, and Peter standing up with a laugh, lifted up his voice, and this is the first gospel sermon or gospel message. But I want to draw your attention to what Peter says, and he's talking about the crucified Christ, how that the people crucified him. In verse 23 he says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now God was in it. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I'm glad in 2017 that Christ wrought something at Calvary, and he loosed the pains of death. He loosed the pains of death when he went down into the deepest caverns of the damned, and he took the keys of hell and of death. He loosed the pains of death when he took the keys of death. And we know that it only took the Lord a short time to loose the pains of death when he died and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, we know that he's loosed the pains of death, and we're reading on here verse 25, he's bringing us back to the Psalm chapter 16. And he said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of the joy with thy countenance. Praise the Lord. And Peter's preaching the gospel here, and he's preaching, and he said, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad.
Amen.
So Paul, or sorry, Peter interprets that word, my glory rejoices, as my tongue rejoices.
Yes.
That's the same.
Amen.
That's the same portion of scripture.
Yes.
And he said his tongue would rejoice, or his tongue would glory in the things of God. Let me say this, talking about room to talk, God wants your tongue. Now I notice the Bible says if an unruly member it can't contain. That's right. But when the Holy Ghost comes on, when the Holy Ghost comes on a man or a woman, they'll speak with tongues.
Amen.
Now you may disagree with that, but I want to say, when I received the Holy Ghost, I spoke with tongues. Now don't get me wrong, I believe that people can speak with tongues and not have the Holy Ghost. But there's nobody in this Bible speaking with tongues that didn't have the Holy Ghost. Every man and every woman that spoke with tongues in this Bible had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I want to say, if God takes over your tongue, you'll speak in a language that you never knew.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That's true. And we read about the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says that they were all gathered together in one accord in one place, and it says the Holy Ghost descended and it filled the house. It filled the house where they were sitting. It filled the whole room. That's the same as Solomon dedicating the temple and the glory of God come down so that they weren't able to stand the minister. Praise the Lord. Now, I know I'm moving about a bit this morning. I'm moving again. John's Gospel, and it's chapter 20. I want to draw to your attention the resurrected Christ. Now, Christ was on the earth about 33 years, is not right? And he was with the disciples about 3.5 years. Is it warm enough, Cameron? It's red hot. It's red hot. I tell you, it's getting warm in here for the devil.
Amen.
It's getting red hot. On the resurrection morning, it was red hot.
Lord,
you know, I believe in the tomb, when Jesus' body lay in the tomb, I believe it was cold and it was probably damp, and there was no heat. But I believe what happened was that pillar of fire came through the wall and went over the body of Jesus. And there was darkness in that tomb. But when the pillar of fire came in that tomb, the light began to shine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe when the light began to shine, the place started to warm up.
Amen.
And that pillar of fire didn't only come in the room, it went inside that corpse of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And when it went inside that corpse of Jesus Christ, he stood up upon his feet.
Yes.
And he took the napkin that was on his head.
Yes.
And he folded it.
Yes.
Neatly, and he set it down.
Yes.
And then the next thing you know, the angels come down and they rolled the stone away.
Amen.
Didn't roll it away and let him out, rolled it away and let the disciples in.
Yes.
Amen. The resurrected Christ.
Right.
You know, when somebody rises from the dead, when somebody's raised from the dead, they'll die again here, unless the Lord comes. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, he wasn't only raised from the dead, he was resurrected. And the Bible tells me in that he died once, he died unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God. He will never, ever, ever die again.
Amen.
And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the key. needs the risen Saviour.
Amen.
I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the Word today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. Just the time I need Him, He's always near. I tell you, He's here this morning. He's in this room now by His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. I want to draw your attention to the first thing that Jesus said to His disciples when He rose from the dead. And the first person to meet Him was Mary Magdalene. Now, I haven't done a detailed study on this, but Mary Magdalene met Him. And she went and told the disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead. And then we read in verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 20, it said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you."
Amen.
That's the first thing He said.
Amen.
Peace be unto you. You know, we ought to look at our brother and sister and we ought to say that to them. Peace be unto you. The Catholic Church does it. Not that we want to copy the Catholic Church, but there we have no, when it comes to that, can we talk? We need to have room. We need to have room to talk. That's, I'm meant to be talking about having room to talk. You might be thinking, well, that's what I'm meant to be trying to bring out this morning. Room to talk.
Amen.
But the first thing that Jesus said to them disciples was, "Peace be unto you." And when He had said so, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And somebody said that there's the most underrated verse in the Bible. Then was the disciples glad. Tell you, they were glad all right.
Amen.
They were glad.
Amen.
Then was the devil sad.
Amen.
I tell you, when you're glad, the devil's sad. And when you're sad, the devil's glad. But sometimes you can have a godly sorrow and he'd need to watch himself for the backfire on him.
Amen.
But God doesn't want you to always to be sad. He wants you to be glad.
Yeah.
And these disciples was glad when they saw Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They knew it was the same man who was nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
They knew He was the same man who died on the cross.
Yeah.
They knew He was the man that was dead and now is alive. I tell you, then was the disciples glad. He showed them His hands and He showed them His side. He showed them His feet. Not right?
Yes.
Now we know that Thomas wasn't there, and when Thomas came back he said, "Unless I shall see with my own eyes, unless I put my hand in His side." And you know what I believe? The Lord came back 8 days later. Why did He come back 8 days later? He wanted to see Thomas. I believe that. You can read that. He came back 8 days later, and what did He do? He said, "Thomas, put your hand in my side." He came back one arm. I tell you, the Lord will go out of His way to speak to you sometimes.
Amen.
Go out of His way to help
right.
you. Don't think He's against you this morning. He's for you.
Amen.
And if God be for you,
Amen.
Who can be against
Amen.
You? God's for you this morning.
Right.
The devil wants to tell you God doesn't want you, or God doesn't want to hear you, God doesn't want to answer you. That's not true. And then He showed them His hands and He showed them His side, and it says then with the disciples glad. And then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." There's the commission.
Amen.
There's the commission. Now, peace be unto you first of all. That's the first thing He said to them. And then He shows them His hands on His side. He shows them the wounds. He shows them Calvary.
Amen.
He shows them the death on the cross.
Right.
But the resurrection standing right before them.
Amen.
So He's showing them the death and He's showing them the resurrection.
Amen.
And He's showing them that their sins are now all gone to sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's the proof. I tell you, these men had no room to talk about a Savior, but they have room to talk about one now.
because he's alive. Because he's alive. Because he's risen from the dead, that ring the top.
Ring the top. Oh, glory to God. Then Jesus, verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, you call yourself a word bride? Well, what about this word? What about this word? Oh, don't let the devil say, oh, it's not for me. That doesn't concern me. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You're a word bride, that concerns you.
Amen.
You're sent.
Glory.
As the Father sent me, even so send I you. Now, first of all, you need the peace of God that fills your hearts and mind. You need to have your soul saved. And when they met the risen Savior, they realized they weren't working with the law. They realized that now, from now on, we're under grace. For by grace will you save through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God has no, once he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Then he says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them.
Amen.
And saith unto them,
hallelujah,
receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He didn't say it. I've wondered if he ever would. I was wondering if he ever would take the Holy Ghost. I was wondering if you could work something else with a head knowledge that you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. Didn't say that.
Amen.
He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now there's a link between that. There's a link between the man or the woman who's sent from God and the Holy Ghost. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you can forget about being sent.
Right.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you can forget. You'll have a program. You will have man's idea. You will have man's knowledge. You will not have God's knowledge. You need to have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the key to success.
Amen.
No Holy Ghost, no success. No Christ, no gospel. No gospel, no Christ. No peace. Well, you haven't got peace, you can't do nothing because you're tormented.
Right.
Jesus didn't come to torment you. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician. But he says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life.
Amen.
And that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise his holy name. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And when he had said this, he breathed on me. You know, when he breathed on them, that's the breath of God. What is the breath of God?
Amen.
The breath of God is the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The breath of God is the life of God.
Right.
You know what's wrong with too many people today? They have no breath.
Right.
When it comes to things pertaining to God, they're out of breath. They're having a puff.
Right.
If you have no breath, you're fit for nothing. Not right?
Yes.
Right.
No breath, no energy. No breath, no life.
Amen.
You ever hear tell of somebody who died and they're not going to know what they said? I heard about a man who died and said the breath just left him.
Right.
The breath just left him. You know, there's people today and they're in the pulpit and the breath just left them. They've no breath. They maybe never got the breath in the first place. You get this breath, you'll have energy.
Amen.
You get this breath, I tell you, you'll have good breath, not bad breath. I need an injection of it this morning myself. Oh God, give us the breath this morning.
Amen.
And you know, it says that the Lord
Jesus Christ, and not the risen Savior.
Amen.
They met the risen Savior. And he breathed on them.
Right.
And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
I believe when he said that to them, they were saved. They were as good as having it. I believe that. I believe they had a measure right then.
Amen.
When Jesus said it, because he never said anything that didn't happen.
Amen. That's right.
Right.
This man, Jesus, whatever he said took place, for it was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise his holy name. Said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, they have disciples. I believe he breathed into them the breath of God. And I said that I believe they received a portion right then. I'm looking at the glasses here. This glass is not full. It's close full. It's not as full as it was. This is one way of demonstrating the gospel. Drinking a glass of water. You know, if you had faith this, I don't know if it's morning or afternoon, I haven't checked, but if you had faith, you could drink this here, and before it's drank, somebody could be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It's getting low, isn't it? There's water in there. There's water in the basin. It's not full, but it's not full. There's room for improvement. There's room for more.
Amen.
You don't want to say improvement.
Amen.
Because when you get the Holy Ghost, that's the best thing you could ever get. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get eternal life.
Amen.
You have passed from death unto life. So don't want to say that there's room for improvement. No, I'm not saying there's room for improvement, but I'm saying there's room for more of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
And then disciples, when they met the risen Savior on that day, he said, "Peace be unto you." And then he says, "Look at my hands and look at my side. Put your hand into that hole in my side where it was pierced by the spear." And he says, "Look at them feet of mine." And then he says, "Peace be unto you," again. And then he says, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you. I have picked you. I have chosen you. You're the one that I want to do the work. Don't want anybody else. You're the one I'm asking. You're the one I'm telling. Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
I believe they received a portion of the Holy Spirit. But I believe they went up into the upper room, we know. They went up into the upper room, and I'm turning there now. I was writing all this down and trying to keep it in some sort of order, writing it down. And I said, I'll have to read about the Holy Ghost coming. But we're going to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 1. And we're going to read these things in the book of Acts. We're going to start at verse 1. And we read these words here. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." You know, I want to draw your attention to that word "began." Now you know these things. You know these things. I want you to notice what that says there. "Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." When did he stop? Of all that Jesus began. I want to ask you, when did he stop? He's not stopped.
Amen.
Still doing it.
Glory.
He's still working. He's not on the pension. He's not off her. He's in full-time employment.
Amen.
He ever lives to make intercession for you according to the will of God. He's still saving today. He's still healing. He's still filling men and women with the Holy Ghost and fire. Of all that he began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, he had given commandments, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, now listen to what he said here. He said, don't ye be concerned about that. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now he said, don't get out in a limb.
Right.
You can't get out in a limb.
Right.
Don't do it. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power.
Yes.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. Now I want you to listen this morning, and I know you are listening. I drew to your attention the first thing that the Lord said to the disciples after the resurrection, and the first thing he said to them was, peace be unto you. Now I want to draw to your attention the last thing he said to them before he was caught up, and we just read it, and it's verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth.
Amen.
That's the last thing he said. What's the last thing he said? You considered the first thing. Now I want you to consider the last thing. And the last thing he said. Now, we know in there was maybe the third thing or the fourth thing. I haven't just worked it out, but it's easy to work out. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But here he's saying, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
So he was saying, there's more to come. There's more to come.
Amen.
And that's why the disciples was in the upper room. And then we have the catching up in there in verse 9 and 10. We have the catch in verse 11. You have the catching up. You have the catching up revealed in there. So you have how the Lord was picking up.
Amen.
He was picking up. And it's not what I've come to say this morning, but there was a demonstration there of what's going to happen when the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Same way as the Lord went, that's the same way you go. I have to say that again, because I said you'll go. No, you haven't took. The Lord was taken up. He didn't go. He was took. Now he could have went. You know, he could have went. But he was took so that you would know what way you'd have took.
Amen.
That's right. Now the Lord was taken up. Now, but the last thing he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. And then he goes on, he's taken up into heaven, and it says in verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is from Jerusalem a seventh day journey. And we know that they went up into the upper room, and in chapter 2 and verse 1 we read these words, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it's going past, it's just coming up to 12:30, and I know I have spent my time. But these disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. That's what it showed forth. They began to speak with other tongues. And this is what Peter said when he said, "His tongue glorifies the Lord."
Amen.
When he said, "My tongue, my glory rejoices." My tongue, the psalmist said his glory rejoiced. Peter interpreted and said his tongue rejoiced. But you see, if the Holy Ghost takes over your tongue, you'll speak in a language that you don't know.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Right.
You'll speak in a language that you don't know. Now, I know the time has gone this morning, but you know, when I think about I want to say the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is attacked the most, is the gift of tongues.
Yes.
Somebody said it's the least of the gifts. I don't know why it is or not. It's an important gift.
Amen.
Now, why it's the least of the gifts, that's not why I'm here this morning. But it's a gift.
Right.
If it's in this Bible, and the early church had it, we ought to have it.
Amen.
Not right?
Yes.
Now, this morning, I believe it's the gift. Now, Brother Mark related how that the woman spoke about the being in the church service and somebody spoke with tongues. Now, we're not here this morning to judge, but she wasn't going back because she heard somebody speak with tongues. And then our Brother Mark goes on. He goes on also to relate to us the story of the hand writing on the wall. And there was nobody could interpret, but there was a man who could interpret hard sayings for the Spirit, that said the Spirit of the Holy God was there. That was Daniel.
Right.
I want to ask you, if you were there, could you do the interpretation? What do you think? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I could have given it. Not that I'm anything, but the Holy Ghost, Christ working in you. If you have the Holy Ghost, yes, you could have given it. And let me say this. If there's no gift of tongues, there's no need for interpretation. There's no need for it. But talking about tongues, I believe it's a milestone. It's a stepping stone. And you show me a man or woman who has exercised that gift of tongues, and the Bible says if you're praying an unknown tongue, you have to ask God to let you interpret. So the church would receive edification. But if you never pray in an unknown tongue, then you needn't worry about praying for interpreting. Now let me say this. The gift of interpretation is a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit of the living God for a man. For the Spirit of the Lord to come on a man and to know what somebody else, some other man or woman, has spoken an unknown tongue. You need to have a gift of God to have the interpretation.
Amen.
You do not need to have a head knowledge.
Amen.
I have heard a man speak once, and he said that the gift of interpretation was the ability to interpret other known languages. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says the Holy Ghost came on these people.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Ghost came on them.
Hallelujah.
And when the Holy Ghost came on them, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen, there's some denominational lodges today, and if you speak with tongues, you're no longer a member of that lodge. You have to cease immediately, or else leave the church. Now who's that? Is that the spirit of Antichrist or what is that?
Amen.
That's great.
I want to tell you this morning, or this afternoon now, that the devil's against tongues.
Yes. Right.
And he's against any gift that comes from God. And he's against anything that lives. I tell you, we need a live. We need to have room to talk.
Amen.
God wants you to have room to talk. But we don't want to shut God out. If we determine ourselves we're not going to talk, or we're not going to talk in an unknown tongue, I believe we're shutting God out. Don't shut him out. Now, I know there's people who speak with tongues and never had the Holy Ghost. I know that. But the genuine article was first.
Yes. Amen.
On the genuine article, it was simply there, whatever the counterfeit is not.
Amen. Amen.
The man that has the Holy Ghost, he has the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if he has the Holy Ghost, he hasn't got something else. He has the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And you know, when Jesus said that, he didn't mean you were evil. But what he does mean is, that you're evil in comparison with the goodness of God. So I could take all the goodness that I have within me, and I could, if I could put it up on that wall or show it somewhere, when I put it beside the goodness of God, my goodness would be very small. But God's goodness is greater than all. Praise his holy name. There's nothing left to happen now, only for the power of God to hit you.
Amen.
I'm saying that again. There's nothing left to happen now, only for the power of God to hit you.
Amen.
Right where you're sitting in the seat.
Amen.
There's nothing left to happen now, only for you to receive a deluge of the Holy Ghost and fire. There's nothing left to happen now, only for the power of God to come on you. So if you be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep which I have committed unto him. There's nothing left to happen now, only for the power of God to come on you, that he'll take over your tongue.
Amen.
And you'll pray in the Spirit. How do you do that? I'm going to tell you how you do it. You take a drink. If you're thirsty, what do? You take a drink.
Amen.
If you're thirsty for God, still take a drink. Somebody said when you receive the Holy Ghost, you can't receive it with your mouth closed. You have to open your mouth. Well, I know one thing you can't drink. You ever drink the cow? There wouldn't be many, one or two boys there laughing. You can't drink the cow with a mouth closed. I don't mean to be flippant this morning or crude. That's crude to say that. But what I'm trying to say is, can you close your mouth and take a drink? No, you can't. You can't. You have to open your mouth to receive. You have to open your mouth to receive. Can you take a breath with your mouth closed? Can you hold your nose and close your mouth and take a breath? Can you do that? Can you breathe through your ears? I don't think you can. You breathe through your mouth. And you breathe through your nose at night, you're going to snore. But that's beside the point. God wants you to breathe. He wants you to take a drink.
Amen.
He wants you to receive the Holy Ghost. It wasn't, will you do it? No, you have to do it. Now you might say, Brother John, I have it. Well, if you have it, God bless you. But if you haven't, if you don't, let me say this. If you don't know that you have it, you haven't got it. I believe that this morning with all my heart. If you don't know that you have got the Holy Ghost, you haven't got it. But if you believe you have it, you have it. I believe that this morning. But I believe if you have the Holy Ghost, you'll have a manifestation of that Spirit that's in you. Just like an unclean spirit dwelling in somebody, there's a manifestation of what's in them. The same thing will be when the Holy Ghost is in a man or woman. They'll have a manifestation. There's an outward show.
Amen.
Of the power of God. Praise his name. The time has went. Praise his holy name. You have faith in God this morning.
Amen.
You know, this has been a long meeting, hasn't it? I hope you're warmed up. I'm a bit warmer now than what I was when it starts. I hope you're warmed up to the things of God.
Amen.
I hope you're warmed up in the natural, and I hope you're warmed up in the spirit. The Bible says, despise not prophesying.
Amen.
Paul the Apostle says, covet earnestly the best gifts.
Amen.
Covet earnestly. Never say God couldn't give them to you. They're gifts. They're there for the picking.
Amen.
The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't give you something today and take it off tomorrow. And like Tommy said, Brother Branham said, God never takes away, he ought to.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. You know, maybe we could just wait on the Lord a wee moment, just a wee moment to wait on him. And I don't want to bring you out to the front or anything. I just want you to believe God this morning. I want you just to say, Lord, I'm leaving it with you. And I also want you to say, Lord, I receive from you now.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Your spirit, Lord. Your power, Lord. You're more of that same spirit that raised you from the dead. Now, if you're just, I know our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and not wanting to keep you too long because it's going 20 to 1 with me, and before we know where we are, we're going to be late. And I don't want to keep you late this morning, but trust that God will bless you. I want you just to expect something from the Lord this morning. Expect the power of God this morning. Expect God to answer prayer this morning to do something for you in the name of the Lord. Our Father, this morning we thank you and praise you. We believe it's your word, Lord. We believe it's the truth, Lord. And Lord, we want to copy this morning what you said to your disciples. Lord, I loose your peace upon your people.
Amen.
I loose that peace of God this morning that passes all understanding. I ask, Lord, it will fill our hearts and minds. I ask, Lord, that the peace, your peace, will come over us. And Lord, in such a way that nothing can remove it. I ask you, Lord, that you'll just help us to believe you. And Lord, we acknowledge the fact, Lord, this morning that you said, as the Father sent you, even so, send you us. And Lord, we acknowledge this morning that we have a commission. And also, Lord, we acknowledge that you said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and you breathed on the people, on your disciples.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you'll breathe on your people here in this room.
Amen.
Right now, Lord.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, that you'll give us your breath. I ask you, Lord, that you'll give us your spirit.
Jesus.
I ask you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will just come upon your people and come down on them, Lord, and go in them and remain upon them and in them and through them from this moment of time. We pray, God, you'll help us to drink of that fountain. Lord, you said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink of the fountain of life, freely given. Lord, we know it's freely given this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you'll spring up a well within us and you'll set us free. I ask you, Lord, you'll fill men and women to full and overflowing here with the Holy Ghost and fire. I ask you, Lord, also that you'll help us to manifest the gifts among us. Lord, not that we'll draw attention to ourselves, but that we'll draw attention to the moving of the Holy Spirit among us in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, that you'll give us room to talk. I ask you, Lord, that you'll give us room to talk in things pertaining to God. That we'll have signs and wonders and miracles. Mighty signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, you'll pour out your spirit, a spirit of prayer and intercession upon us. I ask you, Lord, you'll just help us to receive from you and say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, again, we are the creatures of time. We're the creatures that are subject to the time. But Lord, I ask you to move. I ask you to touch your people in this meeting right now. In Jesus' name, that the Holy Ghost would come and brood over us again. That your Holy Spirit would fill us to full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this morning, you may not have felt that anything took place or happened. But I just want you to go away from here believing that something has happened.
Amen.
I want you to go away from here believing that something has happened. And you say, Lord, John, the Holy Ghost was given at Pentecost. That's right. But there's still people has to receive the Holy Ghost. I know it was given. That's why you can't receive it this morning.
Amen.
It's for you. The devil doesn't want none of this. He doesn't want none of this stuff. Because he knows he has a short time. God bless you this morning. I want you to leave here believing God. Whatever you've asked him about, you have faith in God. I believe he'll bring it to pass. Praise his holy name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord good. Let's stand our feet. I'm not going to take no time. I want Father Gary to just come and worship before we go. Praise God.
Amen.
I can't help thinking about the tongues, you know. I remember one night we went to a certain meeting in the town here, and there was a boy praying in the meeting, and some of us went in and prayed, and I started praying in tongues. And this fella, he says, if he prays in tongues, I'm going out. Yeah. And I just said, get out, devil, quick. And he ran out. And as soon as he went out, the Spirit of God moved. Amen. Thank God for tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. There's lots of things I can say, but I'm not going to. The Lord bless you, Brother John. I enjoyed the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't you like to hear from the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
And it's real.
Amen.
It's really real. Praise God. Let's believe what we've heard this morning. Let's receive it. Believe it. And you know, Brother Branham told a woman this here. She says, would God let me speak in tongues? She says, I need a confirmation. He says, if you pray earnestly, God will give you it. He'll let you do it. He'll let you have it. God will let you have it. Because it's free for you. God will give you it. Now, if you've said, Brother, I've never spoken tongues. If you want it, you can. And it's a wonderful gift. Praise God. It's a gift of God. And thank God for every gift. You know, if you ever received a gift from somebody, isn't it nice to receive a gift? Any gift's nice, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. The Lord bless you to the brother and ages. Let's come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And the Lord bless each one. Praise God.
I will.